Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. We're dealing with some technology issues again today. Jamie is on the computer, but unfortunately, something's amiss. So, we'll just say welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. Welcome to our show today. We are honored and delighted that you've chosen to join us and that all things are moving forward. And if you can hear me, because we're not sure what's happening with the technology, I'd appreciate a quick text from someone who's got my number just to say,
you are
yes,
on there.
Michael, you're there. I am. We're here. Oh, it's all yours, sweetie. I turn it over to you.
Well, I'm not real sure what's happening because the switchboard's really weird. The chat room just disappeared, but we do welcome you to the show. This is Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. And today is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. And I just got the chat room open, and we've got one person out there. She says she can hear us fine, and we've only got two people on the switchboard. So, well, and there goes our music. This is really weird. Let me see if I can scroll down and turn that off.
What, darling?
And it doesn't want to shut off. There we go. So it's just, I guess, got a delay in itself, but there's only a couple people on the switchboard, so apparently everybody's having the same challenge of getting on. So we welcome you to the show, and I'll now turn it over to you. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and here we are again with this awesomely beautiful sunny day in northern Michigan. I guess it's, well, it's not really deep north Michigan, but anyway, today I'm sitting in the basement of the home of the folks we're staying with, and we thank you, Joy and David Bell, for housing us, and there's this huge, beautiful tree just sitting out the window in the sunshine, colors slightly yellow, just gorgeous. And so we're going to get to experience some fall colors, and we've got a fall colors intensive coming up on October 31st, and we're holding that the Indian summer will come, that we'll have some nice warm weather over the next few weeks, and that our intensive will have some beautiful fall colors. We're going to start on October 31st and go through November 8th, just a little southeast of Lansing, Michigan, in the town of Pinckney. So we'll be doing a 9-day intensive. If anybody wants to take your work to the next level, that's what we'll be doing, is 9 days of codependence to interdependence, some deep research into the dynamics of relationships within one's life and how to start to change those dynamics in a deeper and deeper way, in a new way. And so if anyone would care to join us for that, wants to take the work to the next level, and what is this thing called your work? What are we here to speak about? What are we here to support? Well, if you hold a newborn child, you will know exactly how you're designed to live. And that you're designed to live as this awesome active presence of love. And as that presence of love, designed to live, experiencing your cellular structure 24/7, 365, if you're not, then it's probably time to start to question whether or not you're living a human life. Simply because one has a human form, and the human form has information as it cycles and cycles and cycles through awareness, does not mean that human life has entered the scene yet. It is that awesome active presence of love that constitutes human life. And that mind, with its engraved images from the past, with its experiences from the past, you know, we hear a commandment, and this isn't about theology, we hear a commandment coming from the Creator, and the Creator's name is love. Forget the theological monstrosities men have made. We hear the Creator saying, don't have any false gods. Don't serve any false gods. Serve me. Serve love. function out of the active presence of love, and then you're actually serving the Creator. And when it says, have no false gods, no graven images before me, how does one even know when they're serving a false god? Only one who is taught through fear and did not know any better would do such a thing. And what happens is the mind creates its graven images out of fear. It creates grotesque pictures of things outside of itself or things that it has been taught wrongly that it is. And these grotesque graven images show up in the mind, and we obey them. We serve those graven images. And if we serve those graven images, then we've fallen away and we've separated from the activity of love in us, the activity of the Creator. You can't let go of a false god unless you're honest with yourself and become aware of what you're serving. You know, they gave us this image of a golden calf. Oh, if you worship something out there, no. What do you emulate? What do you follow? If you follow a mind based in hostility or fear, then you're not human and you're not in relationship with the Creator. If you believe the stories based in hostility and fear that you've been told, then you cannot be in truth. If you can't be in truth, remember Yeshua talks to the woman at the well, and he says, you folks have a problem. You don't know what you worship. You will emulate, you'll follow any graven image in your mind. He says, we do it in truth, and we stay in contact with the eternal forces. This isn't theology. This is how human life works. And so what do you emulate? What do you serve? What do you follow? When your mind commands you to do something out of hostility or fear, do you follow? Do you give that look? Do you use that tone of voice? Do you use those words with your children, with your parents, with your spouse? Is there something you think you can't live without? Is there a goal in your mind that you think, oh, if only my spouse would do this, then I'd be okay? Then you're serving false gods, graven images, and the realities of fear and hostility that we obey or what we follow. And that is service to a false god. And again, I'm not talking about theology. I'm talking about, as a human being, we are designed to live in relationship with love 24/7, 365. And we're designed to emulate, which would be a substitute word for worship, we're designed to emulate that love. And when we do behaviors based in our mind hallucinations, based in hostility or fear, when we don't love truth enough to question everything we've been taught, to look into our errors in thought and the errors of our society, when we don't love truth enough to do that, when we stay in blockage of truth and we keep following the same old goals, the same old hostilities, the same old directives from the mind as the previous generations have done, when we play out the power person dynamic and don't even know we're doing it, then we're serving something other than truth. And the words, the language has been so turned and so twisted away from what was originally said in Aramaic. People want to stick to those false beliefs and not question them. No, don't question those, because I've been taught that if I question those, then I'm wrong and I'm bad and I'm going to be punished. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be exorcised from my community. Well, better to be exorcised from your community than relationship with love. If your community is based in hostility and fear. And so we're here to support each person having the direct physiological experience of the active presence of love. And to invite you, when you're not having that experience, to question everything that you've been taught that would lead you out of that experience. And as you question and remove those things that remove you from the active presence of love, as you forgive those things, and forgiveness isn't about letting other people off the hook, it's about removing from your mind what keeps you locked in hostility or fear. When you remove those things from your mind, then you go back to the full experience of the active presence of love. You get to live where you're designed to live. And that's what we're here to support each person in doing. That you literally live 24/7, 365. Whatever graven images your mind comes up with, you reach through those, you shatter those ones based in hostility or fear, and you reach out in love to the person who's sitting in front of you. Yes, your worst enemy. Oh, but Michael, that would be so dangerous. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot more dangerous to separate from your human life and destroy it with hostility and fear. It's much more dangerous to destroy your human life with hostility or fear than it is to offer the active presence of love to the person you've been taught to call enemy. Because when you offer it to, when you offer that active presence of love to the one you call enemy, the one that you sit across from, that you think is the problem in your life, then you start to crack the false foundations of your own thought system. And when you crack the false foundations and the false gods, and rage and guilt and grief are false gods, when you start cracking those, then you get to experience who you are, and you get to bring you forward into the world. And to bring forward that active presence of love is the highest order of service that you can do to humanity. And so that's what we're going to support, that's what we're going to be part of, and in particular to understand the first century Aramaic idea of forgiveness. And that word forgive, again, has nothing to do with letting others off the hook. It's how you change the content of your own mind, how you remove the roots of all hostility and fear until you are able to incarnate, experience yourself as you were created to be, as this awesome active presence of love, and bring that into a world that doesn't know it's even possible. And when you run into someone in the world who can't seem to get that, can't seem to experience that, can't seem to hear you saying that, just recognize that that's someone who does not have the eyes to see nor the ears to hear. And that's simply the pace to support them building the brain cells, to support them actually creating a foundation within themselves to experience themselves as the active presence of love rather than as this complaint, rather than as this resistance, rather than as this way of dissing themselves to somebody else, to really build the brain cells that create a solid foundation of support within self to experience the truth of who you are. It's an awesome, awesome process. And then when you start passing it on to your children and your grandchildren and your parents and the people around you, when you start to read through the graven image that says this person is bad, wrong, evil, nasty, wicked, whatever it is, and with love you reach through that, you crack the foundations of insanity. And believe me, we have come so far from functioning as the active presence of love we were designed to do, that foundation is in desperate need of being cracked. Only the truly strong ones can even conceive of such a thing. And only the truly committed can follow through and actually bring it to fruition. The rest die as a result of the disease processes they've been brainwashed with. And we're here to support you healing everything in you that has to do with death. We're here to bring forward and to support you bringing forward the active presence of the truth of who you are, this awesome human life. And so that's our project, and we are delighted for everybody that chooses to join us and share some space with us. Lots of things happening. We just added an extra workshop here in Woodstock, Illinois. We did our second workshop last night, and we've got four more free workshops. If you happen to be in the Woodstock, Illinois area, come and join us, 7 to 9:30 tonight. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we've got Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. It's a one-page workshop that we do when we travel. So that one's scheduled for Saturday. And then we've added an additional workshop on Sunday. We're actually planning talk to a videographer this morning. And we just happened to have next Sunday off. And the church that we're speaking at, the Unity Center here, just happens to have a clear space on Sunday afternoon next week. So we're planning on getting a big videographer in. I'm actually, as we speak, renovating the worksheet. We're making some actually fairly significant changes in the worksheet to take it to the next level. And so we'll be teaching that next Sunday at Unity in Woodstock. It'll be a free open workshop. Anybody that chooses to join us, it would be awesome to have you there. And, of course, there'll be some panning of the audience, so that'd be going to be on camera or sit off to the side where you're not going to be in the view of the camera. But from 1 till 5 o'clock next Sunday, we're going to be doing another free Live This Happening to Me Again workshop here in Unity of Woodstock. And then we've got about 10 days off, and we head to the Sun Conference, Spiritual Unity of Masons Conference at the Coptic Center in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Then on Sunday, we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again at Grand Rapids Unity. We'll do their Sunday morning service. And we'll do a series of free workshops Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. On that same Sunday night, we'll also be speaking at the Coptic Center at their service at 6 o'clock. And then we'll be doing another Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop. And then head to Lansing, do the same there. And then we've got a 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive beginning in Pinckney, Michigan, on the 31st of October. So we've got lots happening. Gene, is Dr. Kim with us?
He is, and he's on.
Awesome. Let's say hello to the young man. How are you, sir? Are you with us, Dr. Kim? Hello, Dr. Kim. I don't hear your voice. Is your mute button on? Well? It seems that he's not there. Do you know what's happening, Jeannie?
No. Let me re-click it and see what's going on. But he's showing up as being on and being turned on. But the switchboard was acting funky earlier, so who knows? I think Blog Talk's switching over to this new system, and it's not necessarily working well for them.
Hear me?
So try
Can
to
you hear me now?
Yeah, there you are.
All right. I heard a beep finally. I was talking away. Yeah, you asked me how I am.
Were you mute challenged? Oh, weird.
No, I was here, and I just hit the number one a few times so that Jeannie could see me, but I'm here.
I think there's just a delay in their switchboard or something. It's kind of like we were already talking for about 3 minutes when the music decided to play. So I'm not sure what's going on with them.
Well, I'm doing very well. I'm glad you can hear me finally.
Yes. So am I.
I wanted to say I bought a copy of Julie Haverstick's new revision of Healing Children, Loving Children, and I'm looking forward to taking some time with that and see the changes. It's been a while since I've reviewed some of those worksheets for the younger children. And I was... I've already talked with three people this morning about their process, and from one thing leading to another, for each of them, I found myself in a position where I was asking them, so here you are at 50 or 47 or 60 years old, how many times in your life has someone taught you the importance of canceling a goal? And of course, all three of them had the same answer. Never. No one has ever talked to me about the importance of canceling the goal. So that's part of the work that I routinely do that I learned from Dr. Michael Rice and the ancient Aramaic work that he tapped into that has really significantly increased my effectiveness as a therapist. And I just want to put a plug in for, I believe it's... is it Friday where you're going to do Getting the Stress You Need?
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, I say this probably once or twice a month in my business networking group. I say to people, if you know anybody who needs the help of a licensed clinical psychologist like myself, but doesn't have insurance and can't pay the fee out of pocket, send them to the Tuesday support group, the Mind Shifter support group, because they will have exposure there to the very tools that I find most effective as a licensed clinical psychologist. And the core of it is learning how the mind-body-energy system works. And the foundational piece of that is identifying the importance of a goal. And any goal that I hold that resonates anger or fear, sadness or hurt or confusion in me, is a goal I need to cancel, at least temporarily. And when people don't understand that, they're stuck in the desert for 40 years. So
it is amazing that this technology has been around for at least 2,000 years that we know of, and virtually no one has ever heard of it. It's just mind-boggling.
Well, there are a lot of experts out there that know that they know how they know what they know. And as they go into one situation after another with that mindset, they end up leaving knowing what they knew. And so, you know, as I say to people in my lectures on a regular basis, in order to learn anything new, I have to hold the position in my mind that what I think I currently know is either only partially true or completely false. And if I am not willing to hold that position in my mind as I encounter new material, I will never learn anything new. So it's a challenge, because most of us, as what's the line you say? Most of us love our own opinion more than we love the truth. So it's a challenge to get people to open up and question their own opinion and question the validity of what they think they know and how they know it. But that's it's also one of the most rewarding experiences for me personally, to be around when somebody gets introduced to that from that open space in their own mind and they actually learn something new. So that's what's on my mind. That and the idea that I'm trying to reach out as actively as possible in all of my spare time today and tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday to let more people know about these workshops, because it's a rare opportunity to have access to a presenter of Dr. Rice's caliber and to have access to the loving energy and support of the people in that church and the support group. And you might have noticed last night, Dr. Rice, when you asked how many people here have attended the support group, raise your hands. There were quite a few. There was a large percentage of the audience who's... And so these are people, you can get exposure to people who have really practiced the art of holding the space of love when something unlike love comes up. And that in itself is worth the price of admission. And again, the price of admission here is just what energy it takes for you to get your body over to the church, because admission is free.
Yeah.
That's my offering for today. That, and a big thank you to you, Michael, and you, Jeannie, for traveling all this way to help make these tools and this energy available.
Well, you know, I love Richard Bach's thought, we teach best that which we most need to learn. And as time unfolds, I find that I'm learning something that has been disappeared from the planet for almost 2,000 years. And as I said a few minutes ago, it's just amazing that it's been known for so long, and yet it's totally unknown, especially in circles where supposedly everything about Yeshua's teachings is known. And people actually believe that. And yet, the truth is, there's not a clue. There's not a clue. And there's no belief. It amazes me how many circles have almost zero belief in what Yeshua said. They have belief in what somebody told them about Yeshua, but when they go back to his actual words, they just can't fathom it because they've been so beaten into submission with fear-based thoughts that when they get to the actual words, they actually look at the words of the man on the page, they're just like, you know, I can't accept that he said, go ahead and deny me. No, because he's the answer to everything. No, I don't believe what he said. And you know, when people ask me, do you believe in him? No, I don't believe in him. I believe him. I've actually come to where I understand that I need to believe him, not believe in what other people have told me about him. And when I start to believe what he has to say, all of a sudden I'm out of the theological game and I'm into life. And the tools and the awareness is so monumental. It's just monumental. And to watch people who've lived lives of such drama and trauma just have the idea of that forgiveness process of canceling the goal and the first century Aramaic forgiveness. And if that's new to anybody who's listening, you can go to our website, www.whyagain.org, and you can download the, there's a bullseye in the middle of the page, just click the bullseye. And that will tap you right into all of the tools. And it just starts to unfold the whole forgiveness process. So we suggest that you start there. You can download the worksheet. There are at least a dozen radio shows where either Dr. Tam or Jeannie or myself have walked people through the worksheet process and start to integrate actual forgiveness. Not Greek forgiveness, which is what the whole world is being taught, but actually engaging in forgiveness and watch how your scores change. Watch how your numbers go up. Watch how the aliveness, the satisfaction, the joy, the delight, the awareness grows as you do that. And we just are delighted to have this opportunity to share these tools with you and support you. And Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up?
We do have a hand up. It's area code 520. 520, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Arizona.
Welcome. And your name is?
Christina.
Glad to hear your voice, Christina. How can we support you today?
I just wanted to tell Michael, I called him about a year ago. And he prayed with me for my son. He was into drugs. And I just wanted to tell him, thank you. Your prayers saved him. I was like, oh, my gosh. And you were the only one to pray with me, you know, on that day. And it was, oh, God, I was so, I don't know what words to use. But, you know, it's scary to think you're going to lose your child, even though he's, you know, he's 23. So, he's not a child, but God, your energy was so good. Your prayers are so good. You helped me and you helped him. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, I'm delighted to be on the team. And, you know, maybe at some point we'll get to get face to face if we're out in that direction or you're in this direction. And I'm just delighted.
I just wanted to thank you for you sharing, you know, your wisdom, everything that you have to, your gifts to share with everybody. And I decided, you know, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to you. You know, it's just, I just wanted to thank you for, you know, for being there for me at that time and the support of that prayer. You know, your energy and your prayer was so strong that, you know, sometimes when you're so down and you're thinking, how will you get through this? And somebody there that doesn't even know you or your family could be there and pray with you and really put all your energy into it. God, that was so great. You know, I'm just like, oh my God, I hope there's more people like you out there.
Well, the biggest way to say thank you is to become one who does that. Pass it on. Work with the tools, share it with others. Integrate it into your world and, you know, just offer it to everybody that you can. That's what our whole purpose in doing this work is to keep passing it on and making it available. So, again, much appreciation for saying thank you and keep it moving. I don't know if it's on our mailing list, but you might want to drop us an email. And let us know how to keep you posted. And if we're out your way in Arizona, we will be sending out email blasts to let you know that that's where we're heading.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you, but I just wanted to, I just can't thank you enough, you know, and I pray and I tell you thank you, even though you may not know it, I pray for you and I say thank you. So thank you again,
right.
And have a wonderful, blessed day, okay?
All right, just awesome.
Okay.
Mucho gracias.
Thank you. Pardon me?
Mucho gracias.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that's pretty cool. Sometimes we don't even know what effect we're having. And our place and our work is that of being available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet to create support for this awesome process of healing. And so we appreciate those who are receptive to the ideas and to integrate them into their world and pass them on to others. It's pretty awesome. So, Dean, again, any word from Peacemaker? Any more?
I haven't heard anything else from him since the other day when he said he was still in the hospital and that that was on Sunday and that he was, doing well, but the doctors were pleased with his progress. And so that's the last that I'd heard. So I haven't heard back. He's not been back in the chat room yet, so he's probably still in the hospital. And one thing that came up in the chat room that you might expand on, and one of the things that I said in it was, you know, different circles uses the same words we use in a different way. Just like, you know, when we say forgiveness, we're not talking about pardoning like some people are when they're talking about forgiveness. So this word is probably kind of in that same realm in that this person was in another group and they talked about dropping expectations and kind of use that in the same category as we talk about canceling a goal. But in our work, expectations and goals are definitely different. Can you explain that difference?
Yeah, and it's a really important distinction. One of the things that that I've observed over the years is that most everybody who picks up these tools when they first do it, because they don't have the brain cells, really go into resistance to the core of what will bring healing. Because when you go to the core of what will bring healing, you have to, so to speak, open your own Pandora's box, and you have to start to look in there. And so people will go into great resistance to the core of the work. We've actually, and you know, Dale talked about this, I think, last Friday or the Friday before on the show. There's one gentleman who took the book, or that took the worksheet, and just took it straight out of our work, put it in his book, wrote a book on, supposedly a book on forgiveness, and he's been impacting a lot of people, which is great. But the core piece in the worksheet that is forgiveness, he didn't stay around the work long enough to build the brain cells for what it meant, so his worksheet removed the forgiveness piece. I've had at least 24 people over the years who've said, oh, I can create a better worksheet than the one you did. Let me fix it for you. And they change it. And invariably when they do, like this gentleman did in his book, they take out the forgiveness piece. Because what forgiveness does is it puts you directly in touch. What we're inviting everyone to do in doing this work is to really look at, to really open to the direct experience of the insanity that has impacted their generations, perhaps forever, in their bloodline. And to bring that forward, and it's not a peaceful, it's not an easy, it's not a fun, it's not a delightful thing to do. Rather, it can be painful. And if we don't know any better and we empower those old memories that we uncover, in present time, then it can seem like instead of a memory of pain, we're experiencing pain. And so people remove the forgiveness piece or water it down. Simple, clear, straight up. When I have tension in my mind, that intention is something that I am wanting to do or thinking about doing, or I want from someone else. I want Charlie to take care of this detail. And when I elevate my intention and my desire for Charlie to do this to the point where I really am demanding that Charlie do it, and Charlie doesn't, then my pain is going to tend to surface if there's any pain around that particular issue. By recognizing that I had a goal for Charlie or I had a goal for myself, and I cancel that goal, by canceling that goal, I open my own Pandora's box in regard to that issue, and I start to get in touch with that deeper hidden part of my mind, and that begins the healing process, and it's not Dr. Feelgood. Most people want to water that down, get rid of it altogether, take the cancel, oh, that canceling stuff doesn't make any sense, I'm not going to do that. My worksheet doesn't have that part in it, but I've got a forgiveness worksheet. It's like, no, you don't. Stop kidding yourself. And one of the ways of watering it down is, well, I had an expectation for Charlie. Well, you know, it's a pretty day out there, and in a little while I'm going to go out and do some things in the van. And I expect that when I go out to do that, it's still going to be a pretty day. Now, it may be pouring rain by the time I get around to getting out there and doing that. My expectation is not a goal. It's just an expectation. We have lots of expectations, but they don't go into the realm of the goal. And by canceling an expectation, you will not experience the benefits of straight up looking at your goals and canceling your goals. Why water it down? I'll tell you why people water it down. They don't want to go there. They don't want to deal with that. It uncovers pieces and parts of themselves that they don't want to look at. Only those who are truly courageous will actually follow through and do the process. And so that would be the difference between an expectation and a goal from where I sit, sweetie. I'm not sure.
You're there, Michael.
Hello.
We're hearing you.
Okay, good. I was hearing Jeannie in the background in a different part of the house. And I guess while I was speaking, a call came in. So she was talking to somebody else. So I was wondering if I'd gotten lost again with this technology stuff.
You're there.
I am here.
You're there.
Everybody's here.
Okay, cool. So that would be my explanation about the difference between an expectation and a goal. Stay with what the teaching is. If you've got a goal, if there's something you want from somebody, something you want from yourself, and you cancel that goal, what that does is it has the impact of opening the deeper part of your own mind where the fear, hostility, or pain is. So I hope that addresses the issue, Jeannie. Is the person who was asking that question or making that comment still with us in the chat room? Or?
They are, and they still feel like the words are actually interchangeable. In the example that they're giving, they're saying, they don't think that the expectation is any less important. For instance, they have an expectation that their daughter will want them in their life, and that in looking at it, they see that she doesn't want her in her life, but that she's going her own path. And I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. And then they could begin to look at what's really happening in their life that's making that so hard or difficult. The goal is the same for her as the expectation.
Well, here would be my feedback to the lady that's presenting that thought, and that is that a goal can be an expectation, And an expectation can be a goal, but an expectation is not always a goal. And if you water it down to expectation, there will be places in using the process where you'll miss the mark by working with and canceling your expectation. Why change the process that works? You're watering it down. There are going to be places where you'll miss the mark. And, of course, if that's how it, what you want to work at, that, you know, that's, of course, your business and your concern. I'm just offering that when you get clear that this process is about goals drive behavior, goals drive perception. Expectations don't. There's a difference. And so the key to the forgiveness process, if you really want to reach the deepest parts of your own dissociated mind and clean them out, what's the part of you that's involved in sending your daughter away? Now, if you keep it in the realm of expectation, you'll never get to look at that part of you. And if you never get to look at that part of you, you won't change that part of you, and you'll tend to keep that whole scenario going with your daughter. As you look at straight up and, you know, wanting your daughter in your life, and you call that a goal or an expectation, is, I would offer, is a surface issue. That's just on the very top. But when you shift your language back to and recognize this process is about goals drive perception, expectations don't, and the more precisely you identify the goal that needs to be canceled in order to touch into the part of you that participates in this, then the more powerfully you'll go into your own dissociated mind and be able to clean it out. For instance, some of the variations on a theme, you know, when they said to Yeshua, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? Is seven enough? And in Aramaic, his answer was no, 77 times 70. And so some of the goals that you might work with around that would be things like, well, what I want to do is, what I want is for my daughter to stay in communication. That's more precisely the goal that I have for her. I may have an expectation for her to stay in touch, but my goal is I want her to pick up the phone every other day and call me. If that's precisely my goal and I cancel that goal, that will produce a healing result, unlike anything you can do with an expectation. It might be, another variation on the theme might be, well, what I really want, my goal for my daughter is for her to visit us at least once a week. When I and that will produce a different healing result. Well, my goal is, if I get really precise here, my goal is that I want my daughter to invite us to lunch at her house once a week. That's what my real desire is. That's what my real goal is. My goal is that I want my daughter to, you know, she's away at college, and what I really want her to do is to write me a letter every 2 weeks. That's a different goal, and that goal will produce a different healing result. And so I'd invite you to give up the resistance and the desire to change the word. This work is about identifying the goals that drive perception and behavior, and the canceling of the goal collapses the perception that the cause of your pain has something to do with your daughter and that it's outside of you. And when you collapse that, you'll drop right into the cause of your pain. And when you do drop into that with presence, the presence of love active in you, you'll dissolve that pain. That will act, will tend to change the dynamic between you and your daughter. And each goal that you've got will be a different component to that. And so that would be my feedback, and I would certainly support you in looking at all those goals in every region. And, you know, we could go on. There might be 100 different goals that if you, in your 77 times 70 worksheets, it's a pretty important issue for your daughter to be in touch with you. You know, it might be a goal for, I want my daughter to trust me enough to communicate with me. I might have a goal for myself, my daughter to obey. I might be holding that my daughter has to obey me, and when I cancel that goal, each of those is going to produce a different healing result. And they'd be, you know, just examples of the sorts of variations of worksheets that you might want to do that will open the space for a different kind of energetic communication. We're not talking about now about what you say in your external communication with her. We're talking about the energies that you interact with her from. And as you shift those, and it's, believe me, it's the cancel, the identification of the cancel of the goals that will take you there. So thanks for the opportunity to clarify that. That's awesome. It's right on target.
Okay. And we had another person in the chat room that was asking. They said that when they were doing the three early memories exercise, and that they were surprised that their partner couldn't remember even one memory, and that he spent some time with it, but he didn't write down anything. And what did that mean? And I suggested that it could be three different things, and perhaps you'll add to this. I said that maybe they were just in denial that they didn't have any memories of conflict. I've met some people who, you think they walk water, they never get mad, they never have judgments, they never want to punish. So anyway, he might fall into that category. But then also, they might be consciously deciding, I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to look there, I don't want to do this, or whatever. And then again, their memories might be so deeply painful that they have actually like disassociated or dissociated, one or the other, from the event. But only the person themselves could answer truthfully which of those might be true. But do you have another view on that?
Well, when you recognize that we're talking about the three earliest memories of conflict, we're not suggesting that somebody has to go back to when they were a two-year-old and remember a conflict. If this is someone that you know and you had an argument with them last week, if there is no other memory of conflict for them to access, then their earliest memory of conflict might be the argument you had with them last week. It's not about going into some deep, dark search that we have to go back to, you know, the earliest conflicts that we had. This, the question in this particular piece of the puzzle is not, what was your earliest conflict? And write it down as a memory. The question is, what's your earliest memory of conflict? And for some people, it might be 2 weeks ago. Now, if you've got somebody who does walk on water and, you know, has never had any conflicts and has no conflicts, then I want to touch the hem of the garment. I want to learn from them. I want to study with them so that I can understand how to do that more fully. But if not, then just encourage them to go with the earliest memory. This might be 2 weeks ago. By the way, our calling number is 646-200-4169. And for the lady who had the issue with your daughter, and for this person that we're talking with now, you know, if you want more personal guidance or support, we're happy for you to call in and let's have a conversation. We'd be delighted to send the tool to you and to support you. And what I find is that, because my function is oftentimes on the intuitive side, that if I can hear your voice and tap into your energy, I can more accurately support you. So if you feel inclined to call in, we'd be delighted to hear your voice. But that would be my input on the three early memories.
Awesome. And you just, I don't know where you just moved to, but you just kind of went into a barrel.
Say it again, sweetie.
I said, I'm not sure what part of the house you just moved to, but your voice just kind of went into a barrel, very echoey.
Oh, am I still there?
A little bit, yeah. So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. Press 1, and that will put you in queue to talk to us. We have about 9 more minutes, so we have room for another call. Please dial in. One of the things that also just came up in the chat room was talking about, you know, when we use the example of holding a newborn, and some people don't have that good experience, but that doesn't take them there. And I was just getting ready to explain about a lady that I had worked with, and she didn't have an experience of a newborn. She didn't have any children. None of her siblings had children, so she had never been around a newborn. So she couldn't tap into that. It didn't make sense. But she did have a cat that she absolutely adored. And so at first when I was working with her, it was like, well, imagine petting your cat. And that didn't work. She had to actually go physically pick up her cat and put it in her lap and start petting it, and then she could calm down and get reconnected. And after doing that for quite a while, then she could imagine going and getting her cat, and she could get into that space. I've had some people that, you know, they maybe have had a bad experience, you know, that they didn't want the child, and then when it was born, all they could remember of it was pain, and, you know, they linked all this other stuff to the newborn, so they couldn't get there. But they were an outdoors-type person, and so I would get them to either imagine, you know, walking through a park or putting their feet in the river or being at the beach with their toes in the sand or whatever it was that could make them or bring them back. It wouldn't make them. Nothing outside of us can make us anything. But it would help them get back to that connected space and just feel that peace. So, you know, we use the newborn because most people do have that awesome remembrance of being connected to love with their newborn. But then there are some people that don't. And so whatever it is that can take you back to that place, then use that as your key or whatever to get you there. So we do use the newborn a lot because that is when you describe a newborn's essence, that is totally describing who you really are and getting you to tap back into that. But anything that will take you back to that space of being totally connected to Source works.
Well, and one of the things that I would offer, sweetie, is that I am happy to share my newborn experience with anyone who hasn't had that experience. And what I found is many people can kind of vicariously tap into the energy of that experience. My daughter was born at 4:40 on a Friday afternoon, and she was born at home. And it was actually just an hour earlier that we realized that her mom was in labor, and we actually had a workshop that weekend. I had a classroom in my house. Lived in Atlanta. Had a classroom in my house and had a workshop that weekend that started Friday evening. And we knew there was at least one person coming up from South Florida, and that was before the days of cell phones. And so there was no way to reach this phone to let them know that we weren't going to do the class. So the class went on. So at 4:40 in the afternoon, as Krista's head delivered into my hands. Now, we're told that the newborn can't focus their eyes for the first several days. Well, that's not true. I think that the newborn that's traumatized has difficulty tapping into all kinds of things, including focus. But first of all, my daughter didn't cry for, gee, I don't remember exactly how, but for several hours. There were no tears involved in her birth. When you think about birth, and you snap a child's spine straight by turning it upside down. You take a hold of its feet, and its feet, the skin, is probably about as sensitive as a third-degree burn. Remember, it's never been touched before. The temperature drops by about 30 degrees from 98.6 to 68 degrees, the average, you know, refrigerated room. And then, you know, somebody slaps this child. It's like, not exactly, although most people would probably go, oh, listen to the scream of the newborn. Isn't that great? Like, excuse me, if you were on the newborn side, would that be great? I don't think so. I've never heard anybody scream that goes, isn't this a wonderful experience? My daughter was born, tear, not a stress, not a strain. And with her head delivered into my hands, she opened her eyes and looked at me. So totally focused in the eyes, and with such an awesome presence of love that everything in me switched. It was actually several years later that I came to understand that I went into a state that the Buddhists call no mind. It's actually a goal that the Buddhists have in some of their meditations is to reach no mind. Literally, for hours after her birth, I was in such a connected space of love that I couldn't think a thought. I had a class that night. She was born at 4:40, and at 7 o'clock, I went to the front door with her in my arm and greeted people. And most people were like, no, that baby wasn't born at, you know, 4:40 this afternoon. No, that's not true. And so, yes, it is. And I went down to teach my class, and in teaching my class, I couldn't think. I literally, it was like the only analogy I've been able to come up with, it was like my mind and my lips were buttered. Everything was just direct transmission. It just came out of my mouth. There was no stopping point in my head. I actually stopped the class, went and got a tape recorder and recorded it. I've lost track of those recordings in the last 35 years, 33 years, unfortunately. But it was just such a peak experience, such a high point of the physiological, the emotional, the psychological shift into that presence of love, that it's one of the high points of my life. And so if you don't have a newborn experience, please take mine. Please share it. And just be with the energy of it. And many people have been able to use that to go, okay, I got it. I'm there. I'm with it. And then what will come as you do your work is you'll get to the point where you will be able to go back. As you identify and cancel goals that link to hostility and fear, they keep you out of the experience of yourself as that awesome presence of love. As you cancel those goals, as you locate, identify, and cancel those goals and process through those energies, you will come to the point where you will experience your own birth experience, your own newborn experience, and experience yourself as the awesome presence of love that you are. We're all designed for that experience. And that's what we're here to support everybody in having, is not talking about that, not words about that, but actually having the direct experience. And we're down to a minute or so. We had a fellow came from Sweden several years ago to Heartland, spent a couple of years there, kind of aloof and intellectual and always asking this question, what is this thing you're talking about, love? What is this? What is love? What is love? What is love? And then after, it was toward the end of the first year, after we did a still point breathing session, all of a sudden he had the full-blown experience. And this person who had been rather aloof with everybody in the class just went from person to person to person, hugging them and bringing forward this, I love you, I love you, I love you, just having that direct experience. And when you have that, it becomes a light for the rest of your earthly life and a goal to achieve and to recognize that we can live there 24/7, 365. Do I live there 24/7, 365? Not yet. But I spend a whole lot more time there than I did when I first started doing this work. I didn't know what the experience was when I first started doing this work. Now it's my regular companion. That's what we're inviting you into. We appreciate you. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Come join us at Unity Tonight. Workshops all the way through Sunday. You can get on our website, whyagain.org, to get the worksheets, the downloads of the radio shows. And bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings, brother.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.